You'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And we will read verses 12 through 17. And on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the householder, The teacher says, Where is my guest room, where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare. And the disciples set out and went into the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And it was evening when he came with the 12. You just can't help but find, as you read the scripture, what a wonderful book it is. It'll bear up under any amount of study. Here we have, it says, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be around Thursday. There's some question on which days are which and all that stuff. And if that bothers you, I hope it doesn't, because there's so many other things that could bother you. But it says here the first day of the unleavened bread, which would probably be Thursday in the afternoon when they would. Mark's gospel has it here. And by the way, just before we get into that, Luke's gospel has these two people that went into the Jerusalem to find and get ready for the Passover meal was Peter and John. It's just so interesting that Mark leaves himself out at certain points when he could easily have said he was there. Mark could have easily have said that Peter was there. And I think we're hearing, again, that little call, and you could almost hear Peter preaching this. It says he leaves himself out. And you could also hear Peter preaching it. It says here, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Think of Peter being in Rome, and these are all these Gentiles there in Rome. You think they know, most of them know much about the Passover? I could just hear it, and I could just see Mark writing it all down. This is when they. I don't think it has that in the New American Standard, but you can count on me. This is the Revised Standard Version, and the English Standard Version has they as well. So it's kind of an impersonal thing. This is when they slaughter the Passover lamb. It'd be on Thursday afternoon, if it goes the way the historians say it. So Peter and John are sent off. And Jesus says, when you get there, the householder will show you a large upper room, or a large room. It'll be on the second story. It'll be furnished and ready. Steve, most likely it was paneled when it says it was furnished. I thought that was interesting. Or the other little option could be that they have, like in the Middle East, they would cover the walls with tapestries or carpets. To us, a carpet's meant to be walked on. But you'd often find carpets lining the rooms, make it homey. But it's furnished. It's a large room. It's furnished. And then he says, and it's been prepared. It's all set up. And down in verse 17 it says, "And they, when it was evening, Jesus came with the 12." And I just want you to get ready, and I hope you don't think I'm making too much of this. It'll be a long night. This is the beginning of that great night in which Jesus was betrayed. That great long night. He spends all evening with the disciples, and who knows what time they left, but they went back out to Bethany, most likely. And then the betrayal happens, and the trial with the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priest. And then finally, in chapter 15, verse 1, we kind of come out of that long night there in Mark. It says, they came to Pilate's house in the morning, or the praetorium. What a night. Anyway, we're jumping way ahead of ourselves here. About the time that the sack, or sometime during the first day of unleavened bread, his disciples said to them, to Jesus, "What do you want us to do about this meal that's coming up?" And I cannot experience it, except the closest you and I can do it, except. Can think of this as maybe a Easter meal. I don't know, was an Easter meal a big meal in your house? It really wasn't that much in my own. But in some good, godly people's lives, they had a big Easter meal. I'm not. Our Christmas is always good. Big Christmas meal. This was really central to the Jewish faith. And it still is. This is the Passover lamb and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was important, and it was important to every Jew, and Jerusalem was full of people celebrating this. Where do you want us to go to prepare for you to eat the Passover? You know, at this late in the deal, do you think the disciples wondered? You know, they're out in Bethany. You know, they're kind of staying, quote, staying out there. I don't know. As I read it, you know, it's always best just to ask Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the God of peace, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. How pleasant it is just to come to Jesus, even if it's the minor things in life. It's the minor things that really mess you up. At least me. I just do like it. Be anxious for nothing. This last week, I got all stirred up over a certain subject which I will not tell you about. But it finally, and I'm, of course, studying these passages this week, and finally just, you know, why don't you just be like these disciples and talk to God about that. Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a Christian. You know that? Did you know that? And we think that being a Christian is that you become, you know, a mature Christian. You become more and more mature and strong in the faith, and you hardly even need God anymore. You're so strong. It slips into us. We automatically know what God would want. We're so strong. But I think the stronger we are, the more helpless we are without Him, and the more we will need to come to Him continually. And we'll just have to have this continual vast relationship with Him. We won't be these learned men or women who just know how to act and what should be done and how one should think and know all the doctrine and all the rules for discipleship and know everything about planting churches, know everything about counseling. When poor Raymond, Steve and I heard about Raymond Bell, did you know what to say to anybody? Well, I didn't either. But you know, we can go to God and say, Lord, help me. And I know there are preachers in the world that just know exactly what to do all the time. They've taken counseling 101, 201, 301, and 401, and all the ones, they've taken it and they know what to do. I would rather be able to go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, what are we supposed to do about this Passover meal? And by the way, Jesus, over in Luke, says He longed to eat that Passover meal with His disciples. I think that is sweet. So I just want you to know it is a pleasant thing to live your life at His bidding and just being a little child. Let me give you another little example if you don't mind. I have little Ransom Nathaniel Wilson spending a couple days with us, and because I'm nosy, I ask him what he's thinking. And he's the sweetest little boy. He'll tell me exactly what he's thinking. So this morning we got up early. The sun was coming up. And Ransom gets up early. Oh, goes to bed late. So I was down there in the little guest room down there. And Ransom's in a pull-out bed. I'm in the pull-out bed next to him as he's used to sleeping with his siblings. So he's going to get to sleep with Papa downstairs. And the sun's coming up, and I say, Ransom, and he's kind of moving around there. I know he's awake, and I'm thinking, oh, go back to sleep. And he flops back down on the bed. He's still. I know he's awake. So I said, Ransom, let's just get up and go walking. So we're still in our pajamas. Don't ever go drive around on Lanana Street. But it's early, and we walking. There's a reason I'm telling you this. We're walking up into the cemetery and walking around in there. And I say, Ransom, what you thinking about? He says, you think we could watch that movie, Little Kids, Spy Kids 3? Well, how are you going to know he's thinking about that? Unless you ask him. We must ask our God. We must live close to Him. Because we won't know, He won't tell us. But if you're anxious about things, pray about them. Okay. And this moves right into what we're going to say next. In verse 14, let's see, I think it's verse 14. Yeah, 14. He says, when you enter this house, tell the householder, that's the guy that owns the place. Now we have two people, by the way. We have the guy carrying the jar of water and then the householder. He says, but when you get there, tell the householder, the teacher says, and I really like this too. And Jesus, this is a self-designation of Jesus, the teacher. And we've mentioned this before, but I just usually keep drumming on something until it doesn't come up again. Jesus is our teacher. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. He could walk beside us and be with us. Jesus was known as a teacher in Israel, someone who would you could sit with and get counsel, and someone you could say, Lord, when is this going to happen about the end of the world? And he would teach. A teacher. I hope you realize you need teaching. And it's those who sit at Jesus' feet who are taught wonderful things and learn wonderful things. They learn God's faithfulness. They say, Lord, what he wants to do, and he tells them what to do. And then I think this is the heart of the text, by the way, of these verses, where it says in verse 16, and they found it just as he had told them. This is the heart of these verses 12 through 17. These disciples, that means learners, these men that were sitting at his feet learned and found that the things that Jesus said would happen did happen. And they learned God's faithfulness. It's sitting at his feet, and it's also doing what he says. In verse 13, it says, he tells them, he sent two of his disciples, James and John, we know from Luke, and he says to them, go into the city. It's those that go when he says go, and stop when he says stop, and pause when he says pause, turn right when he says turn right, turn left when he says turn left. Those are the ones that get to see marvelous things and learn his faithfulness. God is faithful. You'd Google that one. God is faithful. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God is faithful. You know what that means, don't you? You can count on it. You can count on him personally. God is faithful. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, it says, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. God is faithful. What's the theological term about the attributes of God? I guess that's it. I just gave it to you, didn't I? If someone said to you, what's God like? I think after a lifetime of walking with him, you know what you may say? I'll tell you what he is. If he's anything, he's faithful. Probably you'd want to say he loves you. He's loving and faithful. But he is faithful. Now, in this passage, it's Jesus is the one that they're learning on his faithfulness. And it says, and they found it just as he said it would happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, things present, things to come, all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. God is control of all things, and in some sense, that means everything is at your benefit as well. Do you think he could handle where to eat on the Passover night? It's okay that they asked him. They wanted to know. But it's Jesus. For as many as the promises of God in him, that is in Jesus, they are yes and amen. Wherefore also by him, he is our amen to the glory of God. Jesus, What's that say? Sticks closer than a brother. I don't know what fix one might be in, but he's faithful in it. And like I said this last week, it was just so good and it was so pleasant to take this thing and it was starting to wear me out. Just wear me out. And I could say, oh Lord, would you work this out? Take care of it. That's a comfortable place to be. And of course, do you think the devil's going to let that alone? No. He's coming back. But by God's grace, we'll just keep bringing it to Jesus. Now, verse 14, it says, you read it, and I hope you get what I get out of this. And you may say I'm making a big deal out of nothing. And if you think that, just don't say anything. Jesus says, whenever he enters, wherever he enters, that's the man carrying the pot of water. By the way, that would be unusual. All the commentators loved. One commentator says something, and then they all quote that one guy 25, 30 times. If the guy says it way back in church history, then there may be 100 repeats on what that guy said way back in church history. They all said, think it's cute, but it's probably all true, that a woman would be carrying a water pot. So it was unusual because it was a domestic thing that women would do. If I ever told my wife to go carry a water pot, she'd say, well, you go get it yourself or get some plumbing in this house. But anyway, there's this guy coming carrying a water pot. A man, most likely, he would carry his own personal water with him, which would be a skin of water. But he normally wouldn't be carrying a water pot. Anyway, this guy comes out and meets them. He doesn't say, I think it's interesting, he doesn't say, and you will meet a man coming. It says, this man will meet you. He is being moved as well as I'm telling you. I want you to know, folks, the world is at our fingertips if we live with Jesus. He's taking care of things. This passage is just full of, and it turned out just like they said. There's just all kinds of wonderful little touches of the sovereignty of God that I think Peter told Mark. Or Mark heard Peter preaching this passage. I think Peter preached this passage. Peter was there. So, in verse 14, it says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Does it say my room in New American Standard? I sure hope so. It does.
Where is my guest room?
My guest room. I think, I don't know, and I don't, the disciples didn't know it. I think this was done in advance. Jesus may have actually talked to these people before, my guest room. You're going to find it paneled. It's going to be upstairs. It's large. It's going to be all ready for you. And that's where you get ready for the meal. And so he says to you, tell the householder, ask him, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? I like this. There's so much laid out in advance, probably all of it. I'd be a better theologian if someone was here to help me. God prepares in advance so much. Before a word is even on our tongue, when we pray, the answer is coming. Where's my guest room? I just think Jesus had been off and taken care of it. Where's my guest room? He's already done it. It's like going to a hotel and you saying to the fellow, where's my room? That way. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. And so if we live a life of prayer, and by the way, it's also that those, and I didn't stress it well enough, looks like I have time, it's those that are willing to go at his bidding. If you're not willing to listen to Jesus and be his disciple and be his learner and go and move and have a life that's intimately involved with his will, whether you go or come, then you'll never see these wonderful things and know the comfort of walking with him. I'm going to read the verse. I think it's glorious. In verse 16, and the disciples set out and went into the city. And listen, let it just sink into your heart. And found it as he had told them. Glorious. They found it just like he said it would happen. Paul would say it later, and now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. God, things will be done in our behalf that are already being done in our behalf. And it'll be beyond what we could even imagine. Whether it's something as simple and sweet as a Passover meal. We read it several times recently. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have said it. Now that's an interesting expression. Have you ever thought that's an interesting way of saying that? I wouldn't have said it if I didn't. The Lord has gone to prepare a place beyond all that we ask or think. And so, with verse 17, we're going to turn the page into the tragedy, in some sense, that will develop. But it's not a tragedy. It's really a glory, what's going to happen. But it will be a hard night and a hard the next day. But is he in control? Now, this passage just with a little touch just says he's in control. All right. Let's pray. Father, we would ask that we would live more closely with Jesus. We would walk as a child of the light. We would follow Jesus. Father, may it be said of us that we followed him. And Father, may our relationship deepen. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus. I want to know him more. Be more familiar with him. Be his disciple. Be his learner. Father, we would call him teacher. Lord, teach us. May he be our teacher. Father, we humbly pray this before you, and we pray it in your Son's name, who said we could pray it. We ask that you deepen our walk. pray in Jesus' name. Amen.